Today we are, as we already said, we are going to start a series of messages talking about nativity. And we're going to end up on the 22nd, which is the last Sunday before Christmas. Okay? So it's going to be our Christmas service on 22nd. And but all this Sunday, today, next Sunday, until 22nd, we're going to be talking about Jesus, as we normally do, but in a very special way, because this is Advent season. And I'm very happy to see, to do that, because talking about Jesus at this time of Advent is a great opportunity. And one thing I don't like at this time of Christmas is some religious people, they say, they put on Facebook, but Jesus didn't born, was not born on 25th. But he was born anyway. Amen. Okay? He was born. Of course, he didn't born on 25th, exactly on 25th. But we have done this, celebrating Jesus and Christmas on 25th for years, generations. What's the point now to put it in March? That's probably in March he was born. Okay? But what is the point? The point is, Jesus was born anyway. And he did his job completely. He lived his life here. He died on a cross for us, and he saved us. Can you hear, man?
Amen.
He saved us. So because Jesus did his mission anyway, we celebrate Christmas. And as the song says, this is the most wonderful time of the year. I love this song. I love this song, especially if I'm inside of
supermarket.
No, that amazing, amazing store here.
KFC.
Not KFC. Co-op. You have a very poor mentality. I'm talking about that.
Debenham.
Thank you, Jay. You think right. Think big. Think big. Okay? So, when I sing this song, I remember Debenham. I remember Selfridge.
Harris.
I remember Harris. You know, I remember Jesus. Yeah. So, if we have to talk about Jesus, I want to start it before the time that has been written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that talks about the gospel. I want to talk about the prophecy that has been given to us 700 years before Jesus actually comes. And Isaiah did it, okay? So I want to read for you Isaiah chapter 9. Do you have a Bible there?
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 9. We are going to talk about Jesus, name above all names. Let's say it together. Jesus, name above all names. Let's read Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7. I'm going to read, as always, New King James Version. The title of this passage is The Government of the Promised Son. Are you there? From verse 2, the people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has been shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandals from the noisy battle and garments wrought in blood will be used for burning as fuel of fire. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say again, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, the order to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
I know this verse 6 is very known, for his name is, he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But it's good to go through the context of this passage that talks about a people that they were sad. They were under oppression. They were under a hard circumstance. They were under persecution. But a son has been given. A child is going to be born. And he will be called. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That means for those who are desperate, the name of Jesus is everything. For those who are in trouble, the name of Jesus is everything. For those who are in need, the name of Jesus is everything. For those who are expecting for miracle, the name of Jesus is everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friend, the name of Jesus represents everything. That's why we say Jesus, name above all names.
Amen.
Amen. This whole passage talks about people being freed from their oppression. Even though it was written 740 years before Christ, it doesn't speak just to the people of Israel, but it is written to the whole world, regarding every nation and every single person in the face of the earth. This part of the scripture is not simply a register of someone's birth, but it's the fundamental principle that holds the whole world. When we talk about Jesus and his birth, we are not talking about some sort of celebrity, but a man who divides the human history into two parts, before Christ and after Christ. That's the guy we are talking about. Simply a guy who divides human history in two parts, before him and after him. It's not amazing. We are not talking about Simon Cowell. We are not talking about, you know, any other celebrity. They are important. They are important. Okay? But we are talking about someone who divides human history in two parts. He was the watershed for this generation. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Therefore, To understand the real meaning of Christmas, we need to understand Jesus' measures and his other names also. It's not just simple adjectives, but it's the real expression of his divinity. Divinity. So Jesus, according to this passage we just read, he should be also called by other names. Jesus was his name of baptism. Jesus, or little J for those who are very close to him. He grew up, he was a boy. I think he, you know, if he was today, he could use any skateboard, any, you know, video game or something. However, he came to this earth for a purpose. And this purpose was not just to be recognized as a king, because he was a king already. However, he actually gave up this idea, this reality of being king, and he became a man like you and me. He became a human being. He became one of us. And he lived among us only to know us. Only to know us, to go to the cross for us, to do a sacrifice for us, and give us a life. That was the main purpose when Jesus came to the earth. He didn't come to be an example. He didn't come for political stuff. He didn't come to become a mayor of Jerusalem. He didn't come to become a prime minister. He came to save the world. And when we say world, it's you and me. We are included. Friends, just because one day we recognized that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, we are here today. Part of this great, great family. Any place in the world you can go on Sunday morning, you have people, you're going to find people that you can call them brothers and sisters. Yeah. Any place in the world. If you go Sunday morning into any church, in any place, you can call people that you never met before, you can call them brothers and sisters. Why? Because we have something, sorry to say something, you have something in common. But this something is a holy something. It's Jesus Christ. He came into our lives. The one who divided human history in two parts is the same one who gave us life and made us one in his name. That's why his name is very important. And one thing I love in this country, even people that they don't believe in God too much, or they are not very religious, they don't come very often to the church, but British people, one thing I love lots of things about them, okay? But one thing I love in them, they respect the name of God and Jesus. They don't say those names in vain. If you go to Portugal, for example, you're gonna hear the name Jesus for anything. Oh, Jesus. The guy stumbled. Oh, Jesus. They say Jesus for anything. But instead of respecting this name, they say like something, it's not very, it's just a reflect from their language. Not to say any, not to swear, they say Jesus. But we have to respect the name of Jesus. Because Jesus means not just Jesus. Jesus is also called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen? So let's go for these important names and understand this meaning. So Jesus is also called, say with me, Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Say with me, Wonderful.
Wonderful.
So what does the word wonderful mean? Nothing compares to his magnificence. Magnificence. Nothing compared with his radiance. That's the word I was looking at. His radiance. Nothing compared with his character. Nothing compared with his power. There are lots of power in the world, but there is nothing like Jesus. He is the one, the mighty one, the powerful one. He is the one that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that He is the Lord.
Amen.
He is the one who is called Wonderful. Nothing can compare to Him. His presence is actually a breathtaking. Or do you think breathtaking is just about your girlfriend, your boyfriend, when they are about to come? He's about to come. I remember when I used to visit my wife. I know I was breathtaking that time.
Not anymore.
Now I'm breath giving. I remember when she used to visit me, I was in the window waiting for the bus to get. She's gonna be in that bus. She's gonna be in that bus. And the bus had a bus stop very close to the building I used to live. And I was looking from my apartment and I used to see. And she doesn't come out from the bus. I said, wow. I have to wait one more hour waiting in the window to see her coming down from the bus. And when I used to see her coming down from the bus, I used to meet her and say, wow, I missed you. I love you. I don't do this anymore because she doesn't use bus anymore. This is a breathtaking, something that you desire the most. Something that if you don't have it, you can die, because there is no other sense in your life. There is no other meaning in your life without this breathtaking, which is Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Everything He does and says are such a fantastic thing, fantastic direction for your life. What a wonderful, wonderful guy He is. That's why the song says, what a wonderful time in the year, Christmas time, when we normally speak about Jesus. We do this every year, the whole year, but they do just Christmas time. The book of Judges, chapter 13, 17, 18 says, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, saying, is it wonderful? His name is wonderful. He is marvelous. What a great God we have.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, last Sunday I spoke about being grateful. Thanksgiving. So when we understand who Jesus is, we should say thank you, Jesus, every minute of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So the second name Jesus has is Counselor. Say with me, Counselor.
Counselor.
He always advises me in a very good way, as He is the supreme coach. He is the supreme coach. Amen? What is this? What is the? What is coach? Coach is someone who gives you direction. Coach is someone who is used by his clever thinking to guide you in a good way. They normally see your situation better than you Of course, because you are in the middle of the volcano sometimes. You need somebody outside to give you direction, because they have a clear vision about the situation. Not just your pain. They can see everything. They can say, oh, if you go in this way, it's going to be this result. If you go in this way, it's going to be this result. Now you decide. Coach don't decide for you. They give you options. And you decide what to do.
Like a personal trainer.
Like a personal trainer. So counselors, they are people that guide us to end up from situations in a better way. So Jesus is the one who gives us always a wise counseling. Can I hear, man?
Amen.
Jesus cares about my future, success, and my reputation. Jesus cares about my everything. That's why he looks after me and he gives me the right counseling. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So Jesus is in a higher place. He sees everything. He has a panoramic vision, not a momentum, not just that time you are in trouble, you are in a hard situation. Jesus sees everything. He sees you before, with him, and after. So he's able to give you a good advice. Amen? So if you are about to get married, think about it. If you are about to go to university, think about it. If you are about to change your job, think about it. Everything, every hard decision, and every important decision in your life, put Jesus as your counselor. Put Jesus as your instructor. Then, I'm not saying you are not going to do mistakes anymore, but you are going to mistake less. You're going to do less mistake in your life. Amen? Yesterday I said a story. We were in a couples meeting here, a marriage workshop. And I said, there is a lady, she told a story. She said, one day I didn't go to the church on Sunday. My husband went to the church. And when he came back to the church, he was so rejoicing. He took me to dance. And we started to dance in the middle of our living room, just two of us, without any music. And I didn't understand that act. And I asked him, what happened in the church? Well, what was the message all about? Was how to treat your wife well? He said, no. The message was how to get your cross and rejoice. And he said, I'm trying to do this now. So Jesus gives us always a good counseling. Amen. Number three, mighty God. He is mighty God. Say with me, he is mighty God.
He is mighty God.
His power is enough to do everything in me and for me.
Amen.
In other words, there is nothing impossible for our Jesus.
Amen.
When you come to worship him on Sunday morning, you are not just worshiping any other God, any other person, not this wood cross here. We are worshiping the one who lives inside of us and gives us always the best guidance. He is mighty God. Everything we put in his hand, he takes care of it. Any circumstance, any situation, because there is no impossible for him. He overcame everything for me and for the church. The Bible says that Jesus said, in the world, you have trials and tribulations. But I overcame the world. And some people, they, they give a little bit more to the Bible. This is not in the Bible, okay? Mm-hmm. Some people say this verse. Jesus said, I overcame the world, then you are going to overcome also. No, the Bible doesn't say this. In me, you have faith. In me, I overcame the world. In the world, you have tribulations. In me, I overcame the world. But that means that if you are in him, you are going to overcome also. Every victory he got is yours. The victory Jesus had on the cross is yours. Once you receive it, it's yours. Can I hear, man?
Amen.
In Jesus, you are able to perform miracles. In Jesus, you can walk on the water. Not at this time, because this time it's easy. The lake down there is going to be frozen. It's easy. We can see the ducks walking through the water there. Not in this time. Yeah, plenty summer. You can walk through the water. Amen. You can go for trials and tribulations and overcome it. Because there is no impossible for your life. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We don't need to be worried about anything, friends. Because when the mighty God is upon us, there is no impossible. There is no impossible. Could you tell me anything impossible that was impossible for you, but Jesus did it? Could you remember one thing? One thing.
He saved me.
He saved you. Okay. Even this week, this lady had an operation last Friday. She called me. I'm okay. Sunday I'll be there. Let me tell you something. This is the kind of Christian we are looking for. Not a bunch of bananas. I said to you in Brazil, what does banana mean? Banana means a guy that is always banking. And yellow. Some spots. But when we have people that the world can be coming down them, but they never give up. They never give up. God is looking for people like that. That value the presence. I would say, Ronnie, you don't need to come. Jesus is with you in your house, okay? But she loves communion. She loves fellowship. She loves the worship. My desire is to have a church like this that will never stop doing something for God because something small happened. He is our mighty God. And he is in control of everything.
Yes.
The first proof of his power is he saved you. Because you were not very good. No. Christian, you were not very good, man. Who else could say I was not very good? Yeah. I was not too bad, friends. My mom and dad was a pastor. I grew up always in a Christian environment. When I was five, seven, I was in the choir with my dad. I used to sing tenor. And I learned from my dad. I used to sing in the choir. So I had always this Christian atmosphere in my house. But one day I decided to fly over when I thought I was independent. Don't do this at home, okay? But 1 year later, I had my personal encounter with God. And Jesus showed me how mighty power he was and he is still. Amen. So when you serve Jesus, friends, you are not serving any other religion or any other God, any other boring stuff. You are serving the living God. And I would say the most excited life on earth is a Christian life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you think jumping up with a parachute is an exciting life? Not like Christians. Not like Christians. Because even when you jump up in a parachute, you have to obey the laws of the world. Gravity, everything, especially gravity. Imagine a guy like me with this small belly. Gravity is very powerful. Suck me. But Christianity doesn't talk about natural laws. It talks about God's law. The natural world says 2 + 2 = 4. But when God is in that business, 2 + 2 can be 5, can be 8, can be 10. Whatever you need is going to be the result for you.
Amen.
Because our God is a mighty God.
Amen.
A powerful God. He can do anything.
Amen.
Ephesians 1, 2, from 20 to 23. Ephesians 1. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and mighty and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things. That's my God! Look at this! Look at this! If I was you, friends, I used to jump up right now and say, wow, wow, look at this! And he put all things under his feet! Why? Because he's powerful to do that! When he says, things happen! When he asks for something, he's not saying, excuse me, could you please? No, he gives order. Jesus is not British. You guys are polite. You guys must be like this, but he gives order. Do that. Winds, stop. Waves, stop. Have you ever read in the Bible Jesus saying, waves, could you please stop a little bit? Have you ever written Jesus casting out demons? Excuse me, could you leave this body right now? Get out. Don't go to her. He just said to the devil, get out. And the devil, he left. If you've never seen someone possessed by devil, wow, it's something like that. Shut up and get up. Go out. Go away. This is not your place anymore. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all, over all things to the church.
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
And me. Now everything is under your feet.
Amen.
All the power Jesus had, he said, now it's for you to use. Some people, when they are in trouble, they call the pastor. They call Caroline. They call talks because they pray more. But let me tell you something. When you are in trouble and you need to declare the word of God, please open up your mouth and say in the name of Jesus, by the power of God, I declare it's going to rain today. The rain is going to stop today. It's going to snow today. The storm is going to stop today. Say anything. That's going to happen because you have the mighty power in your mouth.
Amen.
Number four, everlasting Father. Can you see, friends, Christmas is more than, I love these songs, Christmas songs, you know? I went to London a few days ago because my granddaughter is singing in a choir, and they sung Christmas songs in a Brent Cross shopping center. I went there to see her. Nice songs. Lights, you know, hats, everything's nice. And let me tell you something. Christianity is much more than this. It's much more than nice songs. It's the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In you and me. Everlasting Father, even when I didn't know him, he already knew me as my Father.
Yes.
Normally we say, the day I accept Jesus, but the right thing, that's fine. There's no sin about it, okay? Keep singing, keep saying this. The day I accept my Jesus, my Savior. But actually, in that day, he accepts you. Was the day you accepted his invitation. Amen? He's the everlasting Father. Jesus was there when I was being formed. If you read Psalm 139, I dare you to read that psalm without crying. Because Psalm 139 is actually our X-ray. It's actually our X-ray. Read it. You're going to see yourself as a baby in that place. Okay? So he's our Father. He's not just a friend. He's not someone that comes when you need. He is constantly with you as a father. Friends, for those who are parents here, you know what I'm talking about. Father and mom, we are there for any circumstance. For example, the day I went to see my granddaughter singing in London, she was singing there for 10 minutes. But we left Hemel just to see her singing. Because being a granddad is better than being a dad. We normally say, granddad is a dad with sugar. I love being a granddad because there is no hard time. When they cry, we give them back. When they are grumpy, we give them back. When they poo, we give them back. It's not a problem anymore. But we are still, he is still everlasting Father. If we behave like this, can we imagine him? Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Wow. And the last one. He is. Yeah. Prince of Peace. Amen. Only in him I find peace. Not temporary peace, but actually eternal peace. And this peace is not lacking of problems. Remember that. If someone preaches this gospel to you, give this back to them. And come to grab the right gospel. Gospel doesn't mean when you accept Jesus, everything is well. It is well with my soul. With your soul. Not body. Body is still under persecution by devil. Especially now that you are not playing in his team anymore. Some people say, well, Pastor, since I accept Jesus, my life became a mess. It's very hard, my life now. Of course, you changed the team. You used to play for him. So why does he bother about you? Nothing. But now you are in Jesus' team. So now he's gonna be relentless against you. But remember, he is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. Amen. So Prince of Peace is something that brings us peace, even though the hard situation, even the hard situation we are in. Under his peace, we don't need to fear anything or anyone. Anything or anyone. Hebrews 7 verse 2 says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, the tithing. First being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Shalom, meaning King of Peace. And he also is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My encouragement for you today, friends, knowing what Christmas is all about, is about the name of Jesus, the power of transformation he has. And he's still doing this today. Be encouraged to use those words on your favor and to bless people around you. Let people say, let people know that Christmas for you is not drinking and eating too much.
Amen.
By the way, there's a new gym in heaven. Just to invite you. At the new year, I'm going to join them. I'm going to need it. Not now. This is a time, friends, for us to enjoy this time, to share Jesus everywhere we go. What do you do in Christmas time? Do you buy gifts? Of course we buy gifts. But the best gift we can have is our kid. The best gift we can have is actually the presence of Jesus Christ inside of us. Amen. Let's all stand up, please.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say it together. And he's also called
Wonderful.
Wonderful. One more time. Wonderful. What Christmas is all about. By the way, don't you ever write down Christmas using X to be practical. This is evil strategy to take Christ out of Christmas. But when you write down Christmas, write down Christ in capital letter. Because there is no Christmas without Christ.
Amen.
But they try to put X there. But remember, he is the real X factor in our lives. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Jesus, for your blessing upon our lives. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful day in your presence. Thank you for teaching us about your name, about Christmas, about nativity. This is all about Christmas, the real Christmas. Lord, I just pray from now on, from this time on, don't let us get involved in the way the world thinks Christmas is. But Lord, let us get involved more and more in all the words that talks about Jesus. Let us meditate in you, Jesus, because you are simply the one who came and divide our history in two, before you and after you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.